When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouths was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 11, beginning at verse 13. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order to somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered at first fruit is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishment of the root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? The word of the Lord.
This is the gospel, the holy gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out to us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, You have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, I understand that you all are in a sermon series, and in that sermon series, you're looking at the Psalms and specifically the Psalms of Ascent. As we begin to look at those Psalms, I think before I ascend to this pulpit, I need to let you know a little bit about me as a preacher and as a pastor. Well, I'm married to Santa Porsche Greiser. We have been married for 35 years. Oh, where did the time go? I'm a father of Trey, who's 32, and a son of Chase, who's 30. I've been a priest since 1993. Oh, where has the time gone? I've been a Church of the Resurrection since 2009. I'm a bicyclist. I ride by this church quite often and stop in periodically over the years to talk to your pastors and to pray with them. I'm a lover of Jesus, and I'm dedicated to those who follow him and those who seek a new life with Christ. I love to cook. I love to eat. But let's get with the story. Before we take a look at this Psalm of Ascent, I want to tell you of a journey, because your sermon series has been about being on a journey. In 1997, I had the opportunity a couple times a year to begin to hike the Appalachian Trail. And we would go in the fall and in the very early spring. And you know what that means? That the weather is usually quite questionable. One day you might have beautiful winter weather, and the next day it might be possibly spring-like temps. One day we were hiking on this journey, and it began to sleet and it began to snow, and we're hiking up a bald, and my two buddies are in front of me, and I swear it pretty much looked like a North Face commercial with jackets and everything else on top of us. It was quite the journey. 4 days later, my friends, that which looked horrible, dangerous, disastrous, spring-like temperatures began to break, the snow all melted, and we're literally hiking in t-shirts. Beginning a journey is such an exciting rush, isn't it? It's a great, great rush. Oh, all those things are getting ready to happen before you. But on this journey, after hitting that first climb in that snow, I began to question myself about the rest of the 75-ish miles that we were going to hike. It didn't seem logical. But this was time that we had set aside for God to do some good work in our lives, to do some work of renewing us, where we could get with the Lord and begin this journey in a way that was quite exciting. All journeys have anticipation. And as we started that hike, there was joy, even though we're carrying those heavy packs. There was a lilt in our step. Even though you're carrying those heavy packs, there's just a joy and a lilt as we're walking down the trail. The cadence of the walk became repetitious, almost a song in our hearts of the journey that was ahead. We had focus and we had clarity of wondering what God would do with this time that we set aside for him. You know, life's a journey. Day by day, we set aside a time for him to mold us and shape us. For after all, we are his. And we are his clay, and he is the potter forming and shaping us. And for many of us, this COVID reality has been quite a journey. Or perhaps you might be on another journey in the midst of the journey. And will you be able to say, In and through this journey, those who sowed in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. So we take a look at this psalm. This is a psalm of ascent. This psalm of ascent, Psalm 126, is a psalm that the Jewish people would have sang as they were making pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year. They would go for Passover, they would go for the Festival of Weeks, and for Tabernacles. And all of these psalms, most of those psalms, were written during the time of King David. But this one was not. There's some innuendo in there that is going to give us a nuance of power and might of the journey that these pilgrims are now taking towards Jerusalem of a time back in history. This time back in history occurred many years prior when Nebuchadnezzar came in and had multitudes of Jewish people removed from Jerusalem and taken off to Babylon. And they're off in Babylon learning and leading a new life, but they're held captive. And they're held captive for 70 years. Generation almost passed that would have remembered the pilgrimages that went to Jerusalem. But note the sense of joy in this psalm that the psalmist speaks of. Please know that in any journey, dear friends, God is doing some kind of renewal within us. And there's no doubt that these folks that were removed from Israel, off to Babylon, there was renewal that was occurring in their lives. Renewal that was magnificent and powerful. Please note that there had to be some repentance in their lives that had happened prior to that brought them into captivity. For dear friends, they had lost their way with the Lord. They had lost their way and followed so many of the devices and desires of their own hearts that they offended against God's holy laws. And they had left undone those things that they should have done. But now in captivity, they're pouring forth repentance. O Lord, come and help us. We confess our sins. We confess everything that has gone on in our lives. Now you can imagine these folks that were held in this captivity never thought that they were going to be able to go back home to Jerusalem. They never would have imagined that that opportunity would happen. And this psalm today is said by multitudes on a journey. As they ascend up to Jerusalem and they sing this psalm. And it reminds the folks that are on that journey of the 70 years of captivity that they were in. I will ask you, what are the reminder songs that you personally sing about what God has done in your life and how he has delivered you in many, many situations? What are the songs that you sing? I bet there's a cadence to them. I bet there's a list to them. I bet that there's joy in them, that there's a sense that God has done something that has removed you from a place of danger to a place of beauty. So now let's take a look at this psalm, because it probably is going to make a little more sense now. It's a song of praise, and these first few verses are of praise. Lord, when you restored the fortunes of Zion, We were like those who have dreamed. They could have only dreamed that this was possible, that they would go up to Jerusalem ever again. And note that it says, when the Lord, dear friends in Christ, when we're walking with the Lord, he does deliver. It may not always look like the deliverance that you thought you were going to get, but dear friends, there is deliverance. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, of Jerusalem, when everything seems impossible, God makes things possible. So I'll ask you this question. I'm going to ask lots of questions for you to just simply ponder today. When has God acted and delivered you on his behalf? Verse 2 of the psalm says this, our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy when it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Their joy was uncontrolled laughter. Uncontrolled laughter was so great that the nations around them looked at them and said, what has happened to them? They have such joy in the life, even though they've been through this tribulation, this struggle, that they looked at them and they saw this laughter and they were trying to figure it out. Back to my hiking trip, the snow and the sleet had ended and there was going to be a beautiful day of deliverance, but we didn't know when. We had several more days on our hike, but all of a sudden, we woke up one morning. The temperature had changed. The environment had changed. It had warmed up, and it was as if it was a brand new day. In this brand new day, the pack seemed lighter. The cadence began to get that lilt of grace, that lilt of joy back. And I'll be honest, as I crested around one turn and I saw the sun over the mountains, I just began to laugh. Laugh with joy, laugh with deliverance, that literally the people that were on the road and hiking next to us and around us looked at me like I was having a breakdown. They couldn't figure it out, but I could. The Lord had just delivered me from a very dangerous and scary place, and now the nations, the people that are hiking on the trail are looking and going, what joy does this man have? When has your joy in the Lord been so infectious that others were affected and wondered, what is going on with him? Verse 3 goes on and says this, the Lord has done great things for us, and we were filled with joy. The psalmist's description of release from captivity is a wonderful picture of every episode where God has acted in these people's lives. The Lord has done great things, not thing, things for us. This laughter and this joy that they experienced at that time was just but a glimpse of all the other deliverance of the people of Israel. As the people of Israel were let out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, a glimpse of going into the Promised Land, a glimpse of a baby being born, a glimpse of all those possible moments where God has brought spiritual renewal into your lives. Renewal always exceeds expectations. Renewal always opens the floodgates of joy. Renewal always leaves a profound impression on those people around the people of God. Have you experienced that renewal of the power of the Holy Spirit descending upon you and igniting life with joy, pointing forth all those moments of deliverance that have happened in your life? The next thing is an awareness that we're not in the same place. When we have been delivered in our fortunes of Zion, we have been delivered, we then know that something has happened. I can think of times when I know renewal has happened in my life. And I look at where I am in the midst of the day, the month, the week, or the year, and I'm not there spiritually. That's a good indication that spiritual amnesia has kicked in. And quite often, there's a point where we need to begin to repent. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams of the Negev. That desert parched land that is dried up from the heat, our lives that are dried up from day in and day out, assault of just life, the spiritual condition. We need to be turned back to that place of refreshment and joy once again, that we might be restored like the streams of the Negev. Have you noticed when you're not in that sense of joy, you might be in a place of sin? A place that you have alienated yourself from Almighty God? Do you need God to rain down His Spirit in your spiritually parched dry land? Let it rain. Let the streams of the Negev come forth. And now, in this psalm in verse 5, the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks to the pilgrims and says this: those who sow in tears shall reap with songs of joy. This is a place where the Lord is telling us, when we're on our journeys and our ascents, that if it's not happening, we might need to get real. We might need to get real with those sins, those things that have alienated us and removed us away from the presence of the Lord. Yes, dear friends in Christ, that is confession. That is a time where we confess our sins to Almighty God and figure out letting Him to do His good work within us. If you want an explanation for spiritual decline, we have to look no further than the sins we have allowed to invade our lives. Is it time for confession? Is it time to let go those things that have bound us up in our flesh, in our earthly struggles? Listen to verse 6, which is then the praise once again from the people. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Confession. Confession is our distance from God. It is the sins that have distanced us, and you know God will receive them. He will forgive you and I of those sins. Those who go out weeping, weeping our sins, and carrying seeds to sow, the seeds become refreshed and renewed as confession occurs. And that which was dead is now made new. those sins that have been washed away from the blood of Christ on the cross, remove those sins from you and I. They take them away from us, that we are no longer bound by them. Are you seeking songs of joy? Restoring the fortunes of Zion? Confession may be your key. And in this, letting those good seeds from forgiveness bring forth freedom in our own lives. Dear friends, you get what you sow. If we're in sin and chaos, we can't sow joy. It's fake. And people know it. The nations will not recognize it. But through confession and lamenting, like those folks that were in Babylon for those 70 years, had to get right with God. And as they got right with God, then freedom could come. And God does. God does bring that freedom back in and gives you and I, as we confess and receive that forgiveness, seeds of joy, seeds of laughter, exuberance, and blessing. So let's wrap this up for a moment. Let's get ready to take it home. When the Lord restored, we could have only dreamed. Where are you dreaming that the Lord will restore you in your own life? Do we look and dwell on our current calamities? Or do we look at all those moments where God has acted and brought forth deliverance? He does. For our God restores our journeys. I've had several conversations with people that during this season have been in enormous grief, an enormous pain, an enormous struggle. Some have lost their jobs. Some have lost their spouses. Some have lost their livelihood. Some are losing many things around them. And this is grief. This is grief that comes on, and it's residual. It stacks itself up on each other. And dear friends, if we look at the loss constantly, we can't always look at the release and the freedom that God has restored us from in all the other times of life. I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day who lost his wife of 40 years. And in that, I asked him how he's doing. He said, "You know, I decided not to focus on the 34 years of loss that I have from my wife dying and what that future is going to look like. So I'm going to focus on those married years and the joy that God gave us during that time." Dear friends in Christ, singing for joy, dancing with tears, laughing his head off, he sings to the Lord a new song in the midst of his struggle, in the midst of his pain, for he knows that the Lord will restore his life. He knows that the Lord has restored the fortunes of Zion, and he knows that the day is coming that he could only dream of. Dear friends in Christ, what is happening in your journey right now? Are you weighed down with a struggle? Do you need to confess the sins that are going on in your life so that you can dance with joy and allow the Lord to restore you to a place of grace and power and might? Amen.